What if your depression isn't just in your head, but actually stems from inflammation in your body? For over four centuries, Western medicine has operated under René Descartes' dualistic philosophy that separated body from mind. This artificial division created parallel medical universes with devastating consequences. When a patient presents with both rheumatoid arthritis and depression, the rheumatologist dismissively explains, "Well, you would be depressed, wouldn't you?" Meanwhile, psychiatric diagnostic manuals paradoxically exclude patients with physical diseases from formal depression diagnoses. The result? Millions fall through the cracks of a fractured system, with psychiatric patients losing 10-15 years of life expectancy. Not primarily from suicide, but from untreated physical illnesses. This isn't just academic theory, it's a matter of life and death. Imagine your body as a nation defending its borders. Macrophages, big eaters that devour bacteria, guard vulnerable entry points like your gut, lungs, and eyes. When they detect invaders, they release cytokines, protein messengers that circulate through your bloodstream. This defense network operates autonomously, with each macrophage making instant friend or foe decisions using pattern recognition molecules refined through millennia of human evolution. This defense creates collateral damage. When macrophages attack bacteria, they release digestive enzymes toxic to healthy bystander cells. The aftermath includes oxidative stress, tissue damage, and inflammatory mediators that spread throughout your body, including your brain. This isn't metaphorical inflammation, but a direct biological pathway from physical trauma to mental state. Cytokines cross the blood-brain barrier, alter neurotransmitter systems, and disrupt neural circuits involved in mood regulation. The result? You experience not just physical illness, but mental fog, emotional drain, and potentially depression. After a routine root canal procedure, psychiatrist Edward Bulmore experienced mild depression symptoms, lethargy, social withdrawal, and morbid rumination. Rather than separating this into physical inflammation from dental infection, followed by psychological effects, a simpler explanation emerged. He was depressed because he was inflamed. This insight reflects patterns seen in inflammatory conditions. About 90% of arthritis patients report fatigue as their primary complaint, and 40% experience depression. Brain fog commonly accompanies these symptoms. Even conditions involving chronic low-grade inflammation, like diabetes and obesity, show higher depression rates than the general population. Crucially, inflammation disrupts serotonin production by diverting tryptophan to make toxic compounds like curanine instead. This simultaneously reduces serotonin and produces neurotoxins that damage nerve cells. This mechanism explains why many treatment-resistant depression patients showing signs of inflammation don't respond to SSRIs. The inflammatory process actively counteracts the medication's effects. Depression's medical history begins in ancient Greece with melancholia attributed to excess black bile, a theory that persisted until the 1850s. The true breakthrough came after World War II, when iproniazid, derived from German rocket fuel, was tested for tuberculosis in 1952. Beyond fighting TB, it unexpectedly energized patients, making them more social and improving their appetites. This accidental discovery sparked the development of various antidepressants, culminating with Prozac in 1987. This marked not the beginning, but the end of antidepressant innovation, with no major new treatments since 1990. The problem was backward reasoning. Unlike tuberculosis treatment, which started by identifying the causative bacteria, depression treatment began with accidental observations and worked backward, assuming depression must result from low neurotransmitter levels. Without biomarkers, we treat all depression as a single condition with identical causes. This one-size-fits-all approach for a condition affecting 10% of the global population seems as reductive as attributing widespread suffering to unmeasurable black bile. Perhaps depression, like cancer, isn't one disease but many, with inflammation potentially driving a significant subset of cases. The blood-brain barrier, BBB, was once portrayed as an impermeable wall separating the brain from the body's immune system, reinforcing the notion that physical inflammation couldn't affect mental states. This model was wrong. The BBB actually has gaps allowing proteins to pass through, and its endothelial cells actively communicate immune signals. The inflammatory reflex, mediated by the vagus nerve, detects cytokine levels and signals the spleen to reduce inflammation, a homeostatic feedback loop maintaining balance. This reflex can be stimulated through implantable electrical stimulators that control inflammation in conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, effectively turning inflammation on and off. When microglial cells, the brain's immune cells, are activated by inflammatory signals, they produce their own cytokines, amplifying inflammation in the brain. This activation causes significant damage. Nerve cells die or shrink, synaptic connections become rigid rather than plastic, and neurotransmitter systems like serotonin are disrupted. While the brain doesn't form mechanical scarring like arthritic joints, inflammation directly impacts mood, cognition, and behavior. Around 1990, as Prozac gained popularity, researchers began exploring connections between the immune system and depression, an initially controversial idea. The insight came from observing how people often feel depressed after injuries, infections, or vaccinations. Between 1992 and 2014, studies revealed that people with depression have significantly elevated inflammatory markers like C-reactive protein, CRP. A Danish study of 73,131 people demonstrated that even those with mild depressive symptoms had higher CRP levels, suggesting a dose-response relationship between inflammation and negative thinking. The most compelling evidence emerged from experiments where healthy volunteers received typhoid vaccinations that temporarily increased inflammatory markers. Brain imaging showed this activated emotional expression regions, inducing mild depression even in people with no psychiatric history, establishing a clear causal chain: vaccination, inflammation, brain changes, depressed mood. Major life stressors, particularly social rejection, can increase depression risk up to ninefold, with approximately 80% of depression episodes preceded by stressful events. The mechanism involves stress triggering inflammatory responses, as demonstrated in studies comparing burnt-out versus satisfied school teachers. Evolutionarily, this connection makes sense. Genes that could anticipate infectious threats by detecting social danger would activate the immune system preemptively. Despite billions invested since Prozac's launch, pharmaceutical innovation has stagnated. Companies cut mental health R&D because the business model was flawed, treating depression as homogenous while following a predictable pattern: target brain chemicals, screen compounds, test on questionable animal models, then conduct expensive human trials with success rates below 10%. We must abandon the panacea approach. Anti-inflammatory drugs could work exceptionally well for patients with inflammation-driven depression, potentially over 100 million people worldwide. Reanalysis of these drug trials shows promising antidepressant effects. Beyond drugs, vagal nerve stimulation reduces inflammatory cytokines through the inflammatory reflex. Mind-body therapies like meditation and Tai Chi reduce inflammatory gene expression in white blood cells, suggesting the mind can be trained to control bodily inflammation. Future approaches might include cytokine-guided psychotherapy, using inflammatory markers to measure how meditation progressively controls inflammation. This revolution in understanding depression isn't just academic, it's deeply personal for millions suffering worldwide. By recognizing inflammation's role, we can bridge the artificial divide between mind and body, developing treatments that address root causes rather than just symptoms. Your depression isn't just in your head, and that knowledge might be the most liberating insight of all.